Josh Holiday.
I was at the river, and I did hear you. I was getting a glass of river water, glacial water, from the stream just outside the Pod Almighty Studios here in the wilds outside of Toronto. Gorgeous, gorgeous area. Tree-lined streets.
You take a glass. You take a glass down there with you. Like you have a glass on you.
Oh, so yeah, glass.
Oh,
I have a special glass that I carry in a large. I wear cargo pants, and I put it in the leg of the cargo pants. And
you
I
don't
walk,
have a glass holder.
I walk gingerly so I don't break the glass.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason I wear cargo pants.
As long as you're refreshed, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful. I mean, you can see it from. Oh no, there's no windows here, is there? Oh no! Come on, Gary. Gary.
Hello.
Gary Tanchak, president of the Smokers Rights Association of North America. How are you, sir?
That's right. I'm president of the Smokers Rights of North America. I think smokers are the most persecuted people on the face of this earth.
Well, out of everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much everybody. You know, maybe First Nations people have a case. But other than that,
well, I guess First Nations people who smoke probably have it doubly bad, I would guess.
They have really bad, yeah, for sure.
Now, this is interesting, though. You have emphysema, but you say that it has nothing to do with the fact that you smoke. Where do you think that came from?
It could come from any number of things. I indulge in sex quite a bit. It's from smoking. It's okay, fine. It's from smoking. I can't deny that. But so what?
What do you do,
Josh? What's your dirty secret?
I don't think. I mean, I drink coffee. I drink some. I'll have like a latte.
People don't get offended by your stupid face on the patio.
Oh my God, that's pretty mean.
Like, are people ever eating? And they're like, oh God, I can't finish this burger. Because this guy's stupid face is going to make me throw up and die. Everybody ever think that?
Well, that's what I mean. I don't think I've been attacking you. I've been giving you a form here.
How would you like if there was like a sign, like a red circle with your face in the middle, and it was crossed out? Well, I was like, no, you can't.
How would you feel, Josh?
You can't Josh within 15 feet of this door.
But that's not the same thing. That's not a habit. That's actually me. So we're going to let you go, Gary. But before you go, any last thoughts you want to give to the listeners?
Sure, Josh. Yeah, I got some thoughts. Why don't you just go ahead and die? What about that?
Wow, that's not the nicest.
What if we put this out to our listeners? What if we put let's do a poll and say, hey, who thinks Josh should just go and die for once? Huh?
I don't know if
what if you do that?
You think I should put that poll on my? I don't know if I'm going to put that poll on my own website. Should I die?
He's challenging
wow,
you.
Really.
It's a challenge, Josh.
Sound,
he's an aggressive. Yeah, I got the chicken sound.
You know what?
I'm not liking the way this is going.
I'm going to ban having Josh in anywhere.
Oh, he's had a smoker stroke.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gary, I can't, you know, I can't say it's been a pleasure to have you on the show because you're attacking me as the host. It is the Josh Holiday podcast, and the other voice you hear, the female voice, the femininity of the show is Christine Aziz.
Yes.
What is you were explaining to Mike earlier what your background is?
I'm Lebanese, English, Irish, and Scottish, so a whole bunch of different things.
So you have four parents.
I do. Yes,
weird.
It's a weird genetic experiment.
Yeah, because you think you know if you have two parents, you only have. But I see. I know what you mean. I was going through the paper today, as you were too.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I want to talk about on like not a super serious note, but I noticed that there's in Toronto. if you're listening to another part of the world, Toronto, big city here in Canada, and you don't know any kind of geography beyond your small town, even though you have the technology to listen to a podcast, there is a mural for fallen soldiers.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, like a beautifully done mural.
Young in college.
Yeah, basically a tribute to Canadian soldiers who have died fighting for our freedoms. It seems like over the weekend, some graffiti artists came, and it wasn't even just taggers. Like, they made the big bubble letter graffiti all over this beautiful mural, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's the end of the Highway of Heroes.
Yeah.
And it's done, like, by, I think, like, it's a community mural, so it was, like, a collaborative effort with some youth as well.
Yeah. And that's usually, like, even in the graffiti community, as it were, I think there's sort of an unwritten rule that if there's a piece of art on the wall, you don't mess with that.
Yeah.
You don't screw that up. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it even more kind of galling because, it's actually something that's
yeah, because of what it stands for.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've always, there's that fine line when it comes to graffiti. I like street art and I like people doing kind of quirky things that make you think. But I vehemently oppose tagging. It drives me crazy. Like, just some little dopey kid who's like, oh, I'm going to spray paint my name and
what's the point? Like,
yeah.
And it's not pleasing to look at. It's not thought provoking.
It's not even an expression. It's like, oh, you have a creative thing. It's basically just like, I need attention. Look at me. Here's me and my spray paint. On the other hand, I sometimes even some like of the larger graffiti pieces, it is a little bit, because sometimes they'll write their own names in bubble letters, but at least if it's done in an artful kind of interesting way. Mm-hmm. But the best is when it's street art and they actually make something, thought provoking or what we might call artistic. That's not about the actual person making it, but about the greater world.
Mm-hmm.
CJ, I'm just explaining to the listeners here. CJ works for the Canadian National Exhibition when it's in town, but you travel with the rides to other towns. And you are the guy, as I understand it, the guy who wears the mask and scares people in the haunted ride?
Well, I don't like to think of it as just the guy wearing the mask. I like to think of it as the guy in the mask. You know, it's sort of like a role-like thing. I took some acting in school, so I like to really get into the role more than just putting on a mask. I like to play the mask, you know what I mean?
And so what kind of preparations do you do before you start your shift as the monster?
Basically what I do is I do roll-ups, right? Starting from the knees, and I work my way up and just get into a sort of a really scary feeling, get the blood rushing to my head to start off. And then I smoke 5 cigarettes like straight right away, right? Like one right after the other one.
Okay.
And then usually I'm in that mindset where I'm ready to go.
Now, why the cigarettes?
Well, because you need a voice.
Right.
That's the other thing. Like, I don't know if you know this, but when you smoke that much cigarettes in there, what it does is it expands your lungs and you're able to produce a deeper sound.
And does it must get, you would imagine, especially with the summer we had, and even late August, it was pretty hot, and you're wearing this rubber mask and you're inside the ride, it must get super hot.
Yeah, but that's part of it. That's part of it. Okay? Like 3 times this year, I passed out.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I was down for like 20 minutes one day. Nobody even knows because they don't know I'm supposed to be in there, right?
Right.
And it's completely black. People think that I'm part plastic, but I am like totally committed. So I stayed in there.
And do you ever get any coming through there? You must get runs the gamut from kids to boyfriends with their girlfriends. So what are some of the interesting things that have happened or interesting people who have come through?
One time, a guy from the Argos came through, like big guy, linebacker, with his girlfriend, right? And she's like 4 foot nothing. He's like 6'2", huge, right? Anyway, I go out and I spook them, right? She like giggles. He punches me.
Oh no!
Swear on.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah, yeah.
So, did he knock you right out, or what? What happened?
No, 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 no. I stayed up. Listen, I can take a punch. That's one thing. Overheating is one thing, but I can take a punch, right? So I go back. I hit the wall, right, and like a little bit of blood comes out of the side of my ear, but I'm like laughing my ass off. Oh my God, you should have seen. When we got back to the trailers at night, I was telling the story, everybody was like crapping their pants.
The news came out that Ariel Castro, the guy who was kidnapped and captivated, captivated sounds romantic, kept captive three women in Ohio. He hung himself in prison. And that's a ripoff because he got life plus 1,000 years in jail. And even you think, oh, he should die, the death penalty. I'm anti-death penalty. I think it's there's more suffering happening if you're kept in a small cell the rest of your life. And you know, there's always the threat of death by Shiv hanging over your shoulder. But he got it easy. He wasn't put to death. He just took the easy way out. These women spent years in captivity. He can't even spend a couple of days. So F you, Ariel Castro. But technology has changed the whole business of doing your business. The urinal flushing on its own, I like that. You don't have to play with the handle. And there's all kinds of guys who are like, oh, I'm not going to flush. Let someone else flush for me. Well, at least the urinal flushing on its own takes care of that. And the sinks, that's great. You don't have to touch the tap handles. You can use the auto soap. That's cool. And they also have now the in the sit-down area of the bathroom, they have the automatic flusher. So you get up and the thing's supposed to sense that, oh, I guess he's got up, and it'll flush your poopy down the toilet. So I don't know if you've been on one of those things where it's malfunctioning and, you know, you just move a little and it keeps flushing and flushing, and by the time you get off, your bum area is soaking wet from all the splash from all the flushes that have happened beneath you as you sit there trying to do your business. That's not good. And the other thing, call me a purist, but as you're standing up, the thing flushes. You don't even get a chance to see what came out of you. On a strictly health basis, you know, even doctors say, well, what did your poop look like? It's good to know. You know, you can see something. Oh my God, there's blood. You don't even have the chance. You turn around and it's already, you just see the tail sneak down. It's almost like a mouse going in a mouse hole. You just see the tail whip through that hole. And that's what's happening with the poop. And, you know, and some days that's the only thing I've done. That's the most productive I've been, is actually producing a poop. And I want to look at it. I want to see my accomplishment before it's sent down the drain for all to enjoy. So I'm of mixed feelings. I mean, I grant it, you don't have to touch a feces / toilet handle. Although I've read a lot of, like, some high percentage of people use their foot to flush the toilet, and that sounds like a reasonable thing to do. Although if you're one of the guys who does it with your hand, not only do you have like the sprayed feces, you have the feces from the bathroom floor on your hand when you do that. Hello?
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Daniel.
Daniel? Daniel Williams?
Yeah.
Daniel Williams is a blogger here in Toronto. And
is he expecting your call?
Yeah, I told him I might get him on the show, but he's not.
Are you the interview guy?
Yeah, it's Josh Holiday here, and Mike Wixon is riding shotgun here.
All right, let me go put some pants on. 1 second.
All right. So I don't know that he was really ready for this.
Okay.
He's a blogger.
Okay, I'll sit.
So I'm trying to get your story straight. I was reading your blog. It was a long ranting thing. Chris Hemsworth, the actor from, I guess...
He's from such movies, you might remember him from such movies as Thor,
yeah.
Or The Avengers as Thor.
I found a clip here.
He's dreamy.
He's in Red Dawn. Here, listen to this clip from Red Dawn. This is just
no.
So you, yeah, here.
We inherited our freedom. What's up to all of us to fight for it?
So, yeah, that's the guy we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if he was in Red Dawn or not, but I know that he's going to be here in Toronto for TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. And as a guy with a blog, I really want to meet this guy.
Now, on your blog, you were talking about you didn't seem to have happy thoughts about him.
Well, it's not like... Okay, hang on. I don't want you to... It's nothing personal against the guy, but... My girlfriend will not stop talking about him. She has a massive crush on him. So I just want to meet him you know, we'll settle it like a couple of adults. You know, I'll ask him to step aside someplace. I promise I won't go for the face because I know that's his moneymaker.
There's a lady in Montreal who is trying to get Kijiji, which is a Canadian classified site. It's sort of like a second version of Craigslist. And she's trying to get Kijiji to refuse having a category for people to sell pets. I imagine it's in order to try and cut down on puppy mills and shady people just trying to home breed pets and sell them. And that makes sense to me because I the worst thing you can do is buy a pet at a pet store. You're basically saying, oh, I don't care where it comes from. And most of the time, pets in the pet stores come from puppy mills. I remember one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like my grandparents bought. There was this dog, and my grandfather used to go to Sherway Gardens all the time. Like he would go and meet his buddies and have a coffee, and he would stop in on this little poodle every day at the pet store. And then after 2 weeks, he was finally like, "Okay, that's it. I have to buy this dog and bring it home." And he ended up like being a really healthy dog and a loving dog. And I remember going to see him when I'd visit my grandparents, and he lived to be like 15 or something. It was a good dog. But I don't know if puppy mills have become more rampant since then, because this was back in like the 70s and the 80s.
I imagine, as the demand has increased, I imagine. And I know some pet stores are now kind of contracting with legitimate breeders, but the best thing to do is either go to the Humane Society or go through like petfinder.org, where you can search all kinds of different pets, and or go to a legitimate breeder.
Go directly to the breeder, and then you can see the conditions
see the parents
bred and raised, and yeah, exactly,
and you know where the puppy's coming from, and there's no doubt that okay, this, you know, wasn't in some, you know, some hellish environment where
a non-GMO puppy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I want an organic dog. Raised organically. I remember going to, because I would always, you know, I'm sort of hypocritical here, where I would go to PJ's Pets when it was in Yorkdale.
Yeah.
And inevitably it'd be like, oh, I got to go look at the puppies and check out the puppies. And
then you're like, oh.
Sometimes we even, like, so there was one couple that they have a little play area where I guess they hope people become so attached that they buy this dog. And I remember overhearing this sort of, what I would imagine is a girl who probably, you know, goes to the clubs at night or whatever. She asked the PJ's pet person, is this the type of dog that needs to be walked?
Oh my
and
God.
I was,
or can it just fit in my purse?
Yeah. But it was such a lack of knowledge about any kind of dog thing. And I imagine there's a lot of like impulse purchases that happen there. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing you can do for a dog is like, hey, I'm just going to pick up a dog.
Just an accessory. So do I really have to do that much to maintain it and keep it alive?
I recently moved to Liberty Village area and I do acting stuff. And most of the audition places are in the East End.
You know what? I think maybe it'd be better if you said, instead of I do acting stuff, I'm an actor.
I know, but
it sounds legit.
I guess it's been. I feel like maybe pretentious when I say, "Oh, I'm an actor."
It's not that being an actor is that great a thing.
I'm an auditioner.
If you had to say,
"I'm a professional auditioner,"
I'm a brain surgeon. Well, okay, you got me.
I kind of do the brain surgeon thing,
but you know,
I guess it's too casual. I kind of do it. Yeah,
I have some games that I play to pass the time.
Yeah.
Do
you keep your pants on? Or I hope it's not one of those games.
Oh, no. I saved that for the garage, actually. Okay. As soon as I pull in at home, I'm like, oh. I will play the nosy picky game.
How does that work?
I count people picking nose.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about yourself.
And I can't keep track of that. I mean, I guess the whole time I'm playing, my finger's in my nose. But I'm looking for other people.
Yeah.
And I get 1 point for everybody I catch picking their nose and 5 points if I catch them eating it.
Oh.
But I also have this thing now that I've added in my OCD that when I catch somebody picking their nose, I actually give the horn a little boom.
Oh, really?
A quick toot.
Well, it's like if you're playing a video game, it's like that. You've picked up the prize.
Exactly. I got the jewel.
I used to have it in my car. I used to carry a megaphone.
No.
Yeah, I did. I decided I was so like frustrated with people driving that I would use it to like insult them or whatever. And sometimes just for fun, I do the whoop 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 beside the people's car, and they'd be looking around. Yeah, yeah. Please pull over, sir. Please pull over. And they wouldn't know, and they would pull over. Chris Mavridis, Talk 640. I told you the story where At Talk 640, I was working at Q107 Talk 640.
Yep.
Doing the writing, the promos, and the imaging and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And the studios were, this is when it was at Young and Norton. It was like a two-story top of the building. Yep. The studio, like the main talk studios and Q studios were upstairs.
Yep.
And instead of the news people walking up and going into the studios, they would just do it from their desks. They'd have a mic set up. So whenever Chris was doing his, I would always try and take him off his game. I would come up beside his desk and pretend to slowly hump it while he was doing the news. And he would always like, he was really, had a real skill at being able to quickly turn the button off. And he goes, fuck off. And then he turned it off and he'd continue his newscast. Like, and the weather is looking great. And fuck off, Toronto. And he was able to like,
he could edit himself in nanoseconds, be able to handle that.
Yeah. It was, that's what radio is so fun behind the scenes.
It kind of is sometimes. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think when it gets down to it, that the off air fun, I think even if you're not aware of what's going on, there's a certain contagion to the enthusiasm in sort of the environment.
I would agree.
If that makes sense.
I would agree.
If you can kind of tell people are either having fun or they're dreading what they're doing.